Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic.
Yeah, if you're a Brewers fan, it is a perfect time to panic. With the outcome last night, by the way, if you weren't awake for it while you were sleeping, the Mariners beat the Tigers in 15 innings of a Game 5. So that's what you Cub fans have to look forward to.
I stayed up for it.
And the one who complains about the length of a 9-inning Cub game, you're staying up to the 15th inning?
Well, here's the thing. I started watching in like the 6th inning. It was right when the Tigers took the lead 2-1. That home run. That's when I started, right when I started watching. And
that was scary carry.
So the game kept going, and you know, it gets to 12 innings, and I'm like, well, you know, I got to get up at like 5:30 and head into the station, but I'm committed now. I can't stop. I'm this far. I got to see how this ends.
And it finally ended. And the Mariners beat the Tigers. Skubal strikes out 13. He's up there with like Bob Gibson as far as postseason spectacularness and strikeouts and all that.
I think he set the record for most consecutive strikeouts in a postseason game.
And
I believe that's what he did.
Going to be at home now. That's whatever. The rest, they couldn't do it.
If you're him, sorry, quick aside. If you're Skubal, how mad are you today for you to go out there and do that and for your team to not win?
I saw a great comparison today. Former score producer, and he was a personality here for a short time, Eli Hershkovich. Right? Do you remember Eli, right?
Vaguely.
He tweeted out 2025 Detroit Tigers. And then there was the 2006, I think, Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James, and Booby Gibson. And it's like, there you go. That's it. That's a wonderful comparison.
Is that the team that LeBron dragged to
yes.
the finals?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was
that team was horrible, and he just dragged.
And
him.
He was there, yeah.
And then they got killed by what the Spurs? Or no, it was the Mavs or the Spurs.
I'm sure it was the Spurs.
Is the Spurs?
I don't know. Yeah,
because so, the Mavs is who beat the Heat the first time that LeBron went to the finals with the Heat.
But that's the comp. That's Tariq and the Tools. So imagine, and especially this is if you're Milwaukee, last night's outcome. Meant in a winner-take-all game, the home team, remember you spent all year, home field advantage, I got game 7, I got the game 5, whatever it is, you get the odd game at home, you spend all year for that, 162, 6 months, right? 67-67. That's the record of home teams and road teams in a game 5. If you're a Cub fan, you got to like that. It's a coin flip. Shouldn't be a coin flip if you're playing in somebody else's park, but it's a coin flip. Thursday night, Wrigley, the sound of Wrigley, the feel of Wrigley, you heard Pat Hughes describe it. In fact, he started the broadcast by telling Ron Coomer, I may not be able to respond to you because I can't hear you.
And the crowd is roaring.
The way the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes has always described Wrigley as historic Wrigley Field, reporting from historic Wrigley Field. And Wrigley Field is historic. It is that. It's fun, friendly confines, cozy feelings. But Thursday night, Wrigley Field became something else, something I never imagined it would be. intimidating. Brewers manager Pat Murphy said it. I was surprised to hear this. His team was cowed by the environment. His players, he made sure to point out how young they were. His players piddled down their legs in a couple of elimination games, most notably Thursday. Pat Murphy after Thursday night's sound fest, the Thunderdome that was Wrigley.
Do you think, I mean, you kind of just touched it on a little bit, being back in front of the home crowd, what you guys did in those first two games gives you a bit of an advantage going into a game five like that? Or,
well, it definitely is preferred. If you're asking me where I prefer to play, I'd rather say at home, especially how good this environment was the last 2 days. I mean it affected the game. You know, this crowd affected the game the last two games. It affected the way we played for sure. We got a really young team. I think everybody knows that. Maybe by far the youngest team in the postseason. And, you know, it's like that kind of stuff emotionally can affect guys. They can start to play a little too hard. And this game's a game of precision. And, you know, the Cubs' experience and what they've been through, you know, they were better in this environment for sure.
Cub fans are chanting, "Freddy, Freddy, Freddy." That's the Brewers ace. They're taunting the Brewers ace. And Ian Happ said, "Thank you very much," because he got rattled. Wrigley Field, I'm telling you, I never believed it would be intimidating. It might have been loud. You see Miguel Montero's grand slam in 2016 that's how loud it can be. But somehow not loud like Thursday night. Not with the loud terror apparently felt by the Brewers. So much so that by Friday, Pat Murphy was still on this, and he sounded like he was begging Brewers fans to, like, match the energy, the volume, the fanaticism. This is what he said last night.
Again, there's not one prognosticator that picked them over 500. So this team's overachieved all year. And this team had a dream to want to do something special for the fans in Milwaukee, for Bob Uecker, for each other. How the last year ended, they had a magical season last year that nobody expected. That's what teams the fans don't understand sometimes. They're critical, you know, and that's their right. But they're also important to us that they come out with the right attitude and help us out the way the Cubs fan helped them and the way the Brewers fan helps them in the first 2 days. This is baseball. It's hard to do. We're the only small market team doing this, you know, and, you know, get behind these guys. They're doing it for the first time. And they're well aware how hard it is to be in the position they're in. Look at what they put themselves in this position. So I'm proud. I admire this team. I really do. I admire them. And, you know, they have two games when the other team plays really good, one of the best teams in baseball too. And, you know, that can happen.
Am I reading too much into this to say that that was his concession speech? That was his, he was saying goodbye to his seniors. Like that was the end of the semester, end of the season. Didn't it sound like that?
It's first time I heard that. I felt like it sounded like something you would say after the series is over. It sounded like the season's done. We gave it our best try. We overachieved, and whatever.
Yeah, that's what I thought it sounded like. Now, I don't expect them to lie down. I'd be very surprised if they're as dead as he made them sound. But he's asking Milwaukee fans to be that kind of loud, that kind of intimidating. And I wouldn't be surprised if we hear Cub fans who have bought up enough Milwaukee tickets chanting some Brewer's name derisively, tauntingly, the way they did with Peralta, the way they did in the past with Daryl Strawberry. Daryl. We know there are stadiums and arenas that intimidate. You ever been in the old Chicago Stadium? Were you old enough to appreciate it, Trash Panda?
No.
No?
I was alive
but not
when it existed. But I, you know, grew up in Central Illinois, never had a chance to go.
I'm sure there's a lot of people within the sound of my voice and 37 provinces of Canada. It was a Thunderdome. The outer walls were 200 feet from the glass. Two levels, and you had the balcony and a lower roof, and it was, anybody who'd been in there, you ask any player, most intimidating place to play, especially when the Blackhawks were hitting. You're walking up 21 steps, the old Chicago Stadium. Hockey players in skates had to walk up a 21-step staircase to get to the ice.
Well, that's just poor design, first of all.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not, but that's the way it was. And it was intimidating, and opposing teams would say, their coach would say, look, just make it 0-0 after 10 minutes. They'd play four-corner offense for 10 minutes just to take the fans, just to take the building out of itself. Boston Garden, if you ever went to the old Boston Garden, another smaller rink, crammed seating, and then you got Bobby Orr or Ray Bourque breaking out with a puck, and it was... it was loud, it was electric, it would break your eardrums. Now, it's harder to imagine it with open-air stadiums. Yankee Stadium, though, there's a big October sound there. They've certainly had practice. They certainly have a history with it. You're surrounded by it. Monuments in the outfield, the historic frieze along the upper deck. Ruth and Gehrig, DiMaggio, Berra, Mommy, make it stop. You know, I wish I had Ron Coomer on the line now to talk to him, because he played for the Yankees. He played against the Yankees. He played for the Twins, who were vexed by the Yankees. And what it was like walking into that place and how intimidating it could be. And open-air stadiums, it's, you know, Coom walked in there and said, all right, how's Jeter going to beat us tonight? I'm sure that's what he thought at some point. Now, in the NFL, it's pretty legendary. Chicago, Soldier Field, not intimidating. If you ask Wani, his first game, it was a preseason game, Jim Harbaugh's his quarterback, and he was getting booed in the first quarter, or maybe upon the introduction. And when there were cheers, it just disappeared. I'm sure that he will have Chris Tannehill ask him that story tomorrow at Four Winds Casino. But it will tell you the difference between a place like Chicago, which has it was famous when the snow was coming down and Otis is running for they're killing the Rams and it's all over, and see you, Dieter Brock. But not intimidating like that. The team was intimidating. The stadium wasn't. But to be in Kansas City, in Arrowhead Stadium, and more notably in Seattle, which was designed with cantilevers and was such a... when Beast Mode scored, and I think that was the touchdown to get him into the Super Bowl.
That
was a playoff game.
It was a playoff game, but it was that year that Seattle got into the playoffs at 7-9, and they beat the Saints, who had won. The Saints had won their division, or no, the Saints were a wild card team, but they had 10 or 11 wins. They had to go to Seattle, and Seattle was a losing team. Saints.
Won the division with a losing record.
Because they, that was the NFC West that year was just putrid. So, but anyway, it was in that playoff game is what it was.
And it registered on the Richter scale. An outdoor stadium Seattle fans made such noise, it registered on the Richter scale. We don't have a Richter scale register. I haven't seen it, if Thursday night at Wrigley was that. But that kind of intimidating is what happened. Cub fans, decades they bought the sunshine. Hey, here we are, sunshine. And halter tops and Harry and beer, and they salaamed over lovable losers. Cub fans created an intimidating environment. Think about that. I'm not used to that. And that's what the Milwaukee Brewers manager was telling you about his players. Good going, Cub fans. So, Trash Pan, do you think we should have practice? The Cub fans chanting, Shohei, Shohei. Think that would work?
Do you think that would startle him, though? I feel like, you know, Shohei Ohtani is such a global star. I don't think it would shake him.
You think he's impervious to that kind of...
I don't think that he... And I don't know what the atmospheres were like that he played in Japan, but I imagine it could get loud in some of the places they play. And then now he's playing in L.A., and I just don't think it would faze him, personally.
It gets loud in L.A. between the third and seventh innings.
Right.
People show up late, and then they leave early because they have to go to a power breakfast the next morning.
Well, in traffic, right? Traffic's horrible.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You drive 30 minutes just to get to the bathroom in L.A. Oh, God, I hate that. Love In-N-Out Burger. I hate L.A. traffic. It's just an awful thing. But in Dodger Stadium, those fans can make a lot of noise. When they're around, they can make a lot of noise. Postseason, though, one of the things that helped that I thought was even more magical about what the Cubs did, what Cub fans did to Wrigley in making it an intimidating environment. So many times, postseason tickets get given to people who they're corporate. They don't give a damn, right? They're just here. I'm CNBC and hey, I'm here. I'm wearing my suit. Hey, who else is here? But it's not for the fanatics. Wrigley sounded like the fanatics, to the point where the Brewers were piddling down their legs. I'm very impressed with that. Go Cub fans. We take a break when we come back. Wake and Bake Club has a meeting. And you know what? Nico Horner was on the score. One of your Cubs heroes. One of your Cubs heroes all season long. He was on the score. We're going to bring you that interview too. This is Saturday Suckage. Wake and Bake Club. Hello. Wake and Bake.
Smoke weed every day.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can... I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like... breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like, breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome, Wake and Bakers. WB Club meeting today. It will be short, but it'll be amusing because it involves Seth Rogen. He created a show called The Studio. He stars in it. He just won 4 Emmys. Acting, writing, show, all that kind of stuff. At the Emmys, part of his speech was, the only other thing I had ever won was we had to buy a bowling trophy at a rummage sale. That was the only thing he'd won. So he explained to Jimmy Kimmel, he was on, and he was explaining how he then remembered he'd won more. He had more than that one trophy.
When I was a kid, my parents were so... I always said I wanted a trophy, and my parents rightfully were convinced I would never win one. And so they took me to a garage sale, like an estate sale, and I bought a dead man's bowling trophy. And my parents were not like, this is sad. They were like, yeah, this is probably your only shot to have a trophy. So you might as well buy this trophy that is, that a man once had. But I was actually thinking, I did, and it's funny that these were the ones I forgot. I have won 2 other awards.
Oh.
I was in 2007, 2008, back-to-back winner of the High Times Stoner of the Year.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sorry, I forgot to congratulate
you. Exactly, yeah. What's sad, though, is that the award itself is a bong mounted on a little pedestal, and I broke both of them.
You did?
I did, smoking from them.
Oh, yeah, smoking from them.
I did, yes, yeah.
Oh, no! Seth Rogen, High Times, Stoner of the Year, consecutive years, back-to-back. They gave him a bong as an award. He used it and broke it. There you go. That's how he handles trophies. I assume he'll take better care of the Emmys. I love that. All right, Wake and Bakers, return to your couch, and we'll take a break. When we come back, I'll update you on the Cubs and pitching and why Drew Pomeranz was the choice, and then we'll bring you Nico Horner interview on The Score yesterday. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mullin Hall, Chicago's number one most listened to sports morning show, 5:30 till 10 a.m.
That atmosphere contributed to that outcome. The fans, this is one of the more...
I was a big fan win, no question
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
You heard it from Pat Murphy after the game.
Yep.
You heard it from the Cubs throughout the series. Wrigley Field, it's a difference maker, and it certainly has made a difference in this series. Cubs win 2 in a row. Now it's up for grabs. Game 5, live to see another day.
Mullin Hall, mornings 5:30 till 10 a.m. on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Jewel Osco.
From 99 cent Haas avocados, apples at 99 cents a pound, and 2-pound bags of Cuties Clementines for just $2.99, you can dig up all kinds of digital produce finds when you use Jewel Osco for you. Check app for all the details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Back to school has come and our fall routine has begun. Busy nights just got easier with Wild Fork. From ready-to-heat pastas and marinated chicken to chef-crafted meals that go from fridge to table in minutes. Whether it's a quick dinner before practice or a fast heat-and-serve breakfast, have the biggest variety of meat and seafood in your freezer all the time. Wild Fork is ready when you are. Chicken drumsticks for $1.20 a pound or organic ground beef, $5.60 a pound when you buy two. Order online through our website or download our app.
Hey, this is Coach Wanstead. I want to give you my good feet story. I'm a guy that loves to be active. I do TV, radio, all over.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome and welcome back. If you hadn't heard, your starter for the Cubs tonight is left-hander Drew Pomeranz. More on that in a minute. But first, this Game 5 between the Cubs and Brewers is tonight from Milwaukee. Chuck Swirsky will have special coverage starting at 4 p.m., previewing Game 5 and taking your calls. Our official pregame coverage begins at 6:30, first pitch at 7:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Then after the postgame show, Rami Makhlouf will have additional coverage reacting to tonight's Game 5. Pomeranz, by the way, Evan Altman was tweeting this out, and thank him for that, of the Cubs insider and a frequent guest on the show. Pomeranz has held the Brewers scoreless over 6 regular season and 3 postseason appearances so far. He has pitched in each of the last 3 division series games, retiring all 9 batters he has faced with 5 strikeouts. Remember, he's starting at the top of the order. He also retired all 6 Padres batters he faced in that series and has a streak of 22 consecutive batters retired if we go back to the regular season. That's from Evan Altman of Cubs Insider. Good choice for an opener if you're Craig Counsell. He's an out-getter. All he's been doing is getting outs, getting out of the first inning, and then just before which you hope your guys have done something. One of the guys you expect to do something would be Nico Hoerner. He was on the Score yesterday, Spiegel and Holmes. Thank you for listening to Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Here's Nico Hoerner on Spiegel and Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Batting 6, second baseman number 2, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys, Nico Hoerner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
As Hoerner bats, he has hits in each of his first 6 career postseason games.
Ground ball, left side, base hit, left field. Nico Hoerner, a one-out single. Let's see if that sparks a rally. Nothing-nothing game, bottom of the first.
The Cubs have 14 total hits. He's got 6 of them. We're talking to Craig Counsell. He says this is exactly what Hoerner did the last 6 weeks of the season. He said he was just raining hits each and every game.
Lauren, you have more?
Yeah, I talked to Nico pregame, and he said, honestly, it's nothing mechanical that I've been doing differently these last 6 weeks. It's just the rhythm of the season. He said, as the year goes on, I always feel stronger, more connected at the plate, and more in sync with the flow of the game. He said, it's simple. I just feel healthy, confident, and like myself right now.
He's certainly playing to the best of his ability. Now an 8-game hit streak.
Nico Hoerner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's pretty doggone fun when you look at what Nico is doing in the playoffs. He is hitting .429. He has an OPS in the playoffs of .985. I feel like that plays. I feel like it plays. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Cubs second baseman Nico Hoerner joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Nico, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We know that obviously you're busy and there are other things that you have to get ready to do. What was it like at Wrigley yesterday?
Yesterday was, you know, I feel like each elimination game we've played is kind of built on the one before it. It was weird playing an 8 o'clock game, but I think it kind of added to it. It was like just a little more intense at night. And I think it brought out the best in the fans and the players. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
Do you hear everybody going, Freddy?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was unexpected. I mean, obviously, Cueto years ago in Pittsburgh had that chant going for him. That's the only other time I can remember something like that. That was loud.
Yeah, I go back to Daryl Strawberry used to get it. Daryl. Wow. So it's like, and Ron Darling was actually talking about it last night. He's like, you got to be pretty good to get that respect. I don't know.
Yeah. They don't do that for just anybody. You're right.
Yeah. Do you think it got to him at all? Like, or did you guys just get to Freddie? Because you guys got to Freddie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some guy is going home last night in his Uber, like, yep, I started that chant. I got us game four, you know, like. So, you know, if that guy's out there listening, yeah, it definitely made a difference. But no, I don't know. He's a real great competitor and, you know, hard to say, obviously. But what a moment for Ian to start us off like that. And, you know, Peralta settled in pretty well after that. But to get those runs off him was huge.
It was. And you guys had this, like, offensive explosion in the game. There was just there was a lift of some anxiety overall when Ian hits that bomb. And you could feel it through the television. I know the people that were there probably felt it too. And I can't imagine how good it felt for Ian, considering that he hasn't quite been himself. And there he has that moment. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that everyone knows that, you know, baseball in small sample sizes is really hard to read into. And for that reason, like, I think all of us as players would, you know, trade those hits here and there that make a difference between, you know, 200 or 300 in a 7-game sample for the moments, right? That's what playoff baseball is about. Game-changing swings, game-changing defensive plays. And for a guy that's been in this organization for, you know, a decade now, like, to have that moment, I'm sure he wouldn't traded anything in the world for that. That was incredible.
All right, so two things about the home run from Ian Happ with Nico Horner. One, when he crossed home plate, it looked like, F yeah. Is that what he gave you on the double high five? Was that an F yeah from Ian?
I'm not sure. You got to check the tape, maybe. I got to maybe go back and see that. You know, he's a stoic man. Yes. So that would be a lot from him. I promise you, he was feeling pretty good in that moment.
Yeah, that's why it was noticeable. I was like, wow, Ian just let out an F yeah. And then you were saying last night when I saw you in the clubhouse, your view, tell us about your view of that home run standing on second base.
Yeah, I mean, there's just kind of certain, you know, when that happened, I just felt like I really had like a mental image taking my secondary and the ball entering the strike zone and the impact of the bat. It just kind of like, whoa, that was something different right there. That was like take a mental snapshot and remember that one. And, you know, there's so much stuff that you do every day that just, you don't remember days and years later, but I feel like that was a moment in a swing that just, especially with our relationship and everything, that just really is going to stick with me for a long time. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Cause I think people can relate. Sometimes like an experience is just so cool. When you're in that moment, you're like, man, I better remember this. I better lock this one in.
100%. Yeah. And obviously we have a lot more work to do, but it's important to acknowledge those things. Cause so much work and time goes into that. And you gotta hold on to those.
How big a deal was it to get the performance from Matthew Boyd that you got?
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was so great and composed, and he pitched with passion and energy and like wasn't afraid to show that, but was still under control. And just like, it's a guy who's, I think I've said this before in here, but just like, I have so much respect for players that just continue to get better throughout their career. You know, he's been a big leaguer for so long, but you know, he's an all-star for the first time at this year, and having gone through the surgeries and doing the rehabs. And it's just like, he's created so much confidence in himself by going through stuff. Right. So it's no surprise that, he comes out of an outing that doesn't go how he wanted into something really great. That was really uplifting for the whole group.
Nico, what would you say now that you have a wider breadth of postseason experience, what would you say is different between the postseason and the regular season?
I think the intensity of the early innings, I think that really stands out. It just like, it has that eighth, ninth inning feel from the start of the game, which is obviously amazing and exciting, but it is a lot. I feel like when I look up and the scoreboard is in the bottom of the fourth, top of the fifth, you know, it mental energy wise, it feels more like, man, I should be saying seventh or eighth right now kind of thing. So that's, and that's something, you know, players have told me, I mean, it's just like each pitch just carries just like a little more weight, and that all that really adds up. But it, I think that those same things also bring the best out of a lot of guys. And that kind of heightened focus is just a really exciting place to be. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence has been saying it. Everything's high leverage. Like right from the get-go, it feels like high leverage. And we've seen starters taken out in the first, in the second, in the third. You guys have 11 runs in the first inning. 21 combined by the two teams in this series. It's like, but it really does set a tone, doesn't it? Like, I mean, when you have a lead in the first versus when you don't, does it feel different to your collective group?
Yeah. I mean, scoring first is a huge deal in all times in baseball, but, which is, I think with all the pitching decisions and everything else that follows, just the kind of the game state in a series like this, I think, It does matter a lot. Obviously, a game five, everyone's gonna, you know, empty whatever you have left of arms, no matter the score. So maybe a little less significant there, but yeah, it's a huge deal.
So you told the sideline reporter before the game that you feel more connected as the season goes on. You told them that. I don't know if you ever told us that. Like, what's up with that, man? You're sharing stuff with them.
Really, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to check in. You know, like. No, but
it feels like it should be a happy day today.
Yeah, it is. But how about Craig Counsell saying that he's just raining hits? That's fun. Hallelujah. It's raining hits, says the skipper.
That's fun. It's fun. As you know, like the hits aren't always connected to hits come and go. They definitely do. You know, I've had some good batted ball luck so far this playoffs, but also had a lot of good contact and just solid contact that gives you a chance. And, the level of pitching we're facing right now between San Diego and Milwaukee and the bullpens that we've seen is obviously a really high level. So there's just a straight up level of competition, and that's fun to get to. And, you know, sometimes it leads to good results and sometimes not. But, you know, put your head on the pillow at the end of the day, just like proud of the headspace that you're in and the way you're prepared, and go from there. It's game five is obviously a test of, you know, how process are you, how results driven. Obviously you want both, but every day has been different.
Can we talk about Michael Bush for a second against lefties too? Like, he rips one down the right field line last night that Andrew Vaughn makes a nice stop, and then the home run later is on a lefty. Like, that guy, he's just doing it against everybody.
Lined out to the track and left off a lefty the night before too.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously that's a he's a great team player, and he's going to take on, you know, whatever is asked of him. But I think there should be a point of personal pride in doing that and knowing that he can, and that's going to, you know, be an exciting thing to follow. And just as his career develops too, he's such a, you know, amazing player as is, but that's going to just be a continued thing that hopefully he gets more opportunities for in the future. And I get pumped when I see him drive a ball like that off a lefty. It's exciting.
We heard Craig talk about packing our bags. We get to pack our bags. Was that a thing in you guys' clubhouse? Was that a rallying cry that you guys had? Like, we want to pack our bags and get on the bus and go to Milwaukee.
No, not really. But yeah, obviously, I mean, from when we left the clubhouse in Milwaukee, obviously the intent is to get right back to that space. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible game five atmosphere there, but absolutely a point of pride in taking care of business at home and getting back on the bus and taking on whatever's ahead. It's exciting.
You seem loose today, man. I got to tell you, like, the whole group has seemed kind of loose for a couple of days, which is not necessarily how it goes when you come home down 2-0.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, definitely does not always feel that way. There's definitely heightened emotions with the playoffs on both ends of it. You know, there's even kind of securing the last out on the ball that, you know, Yelich hit me hard the other day to, you know, finish that game off. Like, you know, it's an incredible feeling. And, but it was almost just like onto the next, like there's so much ahead always, that it can definitely start pulling you on to the next thing. But like we've talked about, it's important to celebrate each other and celebrate the moments along the way too, even though the ultimate goals still has so much work left to do.
We've been spending a lot of time talking about the psychology of all of this, because for the last week, I've been in the camp of, I want PCA to kind of be the guy that he is, like, no matter what. Like, I think there's not a better time for him to be emotional and play like his hair is on fire. But that's not going to work necessarily for everyone on the team. Mm-hmm. So how have you gone about trying to regulate the joy with the responsibility?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's like, it's so, I think it's just whatever is genuine and embracing what you really are feeling. And obviously that can be extreme too, but you know, it wouldn't serve Pete any good to like try and act like Ian for this entire series, right? Like that'd be horrible for everybody. But at the same time, like the emotions can take you to places where you're maybe outside of you know, the best version of yourself too, for all of us. So yeah, I mean, there's been times where I feel like, wow, I feel like maybe I should have been like more, why was I not more fired up there? Like that was awesome. But you know, it's just like you can't force it. And I think if your intent is on the task at hand and the preparation and the sharing moments with your teammates, and that stuff comes out naturally when it has to. And you guys see that from me throughout the year. There's times where I don't really react. There's times where I do. I don't really know why, but I prefer it that way than like trying to force something, you know?
How fun would it be though if Ian became Pete?
No, I'd be really scared, honestly. I'd be concerned for him. He's starting to dress like him, though. He's got his new playoff fits. I don't know if you guys have seen any pictures.
Oh, yes. Let's discuss. Ian's, I'm really glad you brought it up. Yeah,
Ian's gone all swaggy and baggy on us in this in this past week. So I like it. He's not afraid to get out of the box a little bit.
Yeah, it was like a brown kind of leisure suit thing with plaid on the sides of both the sleeves and the legs. Yeah, would you wear that if asked?
You know, I actually missed that one. I heard about that one. He's had a nice variety of new stuff, and you know, I think it's telling of a confident man that he can be in a heightened playoff space and still be willing to try new things. You know, he could be like, no, I want my athleisure golf stuff. I just want to stick to it. And, you know, maybe the off season I'll try something else. But no, he's like, you know, I'm confident in my game. I know that this doesn't define me. Like, I'm gonna try some new stuff right now and have some playoff changing moments at the plate.
Yeah, well, and it's also indicative of a new marriage and, like, you know, sharing some aesthetic sensibilities. And maybe this is what's coming your way, Mr. Engaged.
That's right. That's right. It takes two to tango. I guess that's another part of playoff stuff that, you know, back to our earlier question, is cool. Is like, it's really a shared community thing. Like, you know, the wives and the families and the kids and everyone that's involved, because they're really here every day for this, and they're going through the emotional ups and downs too. And everyone's coming out on the field after the game and celebrating together, and, you know, the post game celebration of San Diego. And it really starts to create some special sense of community. And, you know, I know for my fiance and Ian's wife and people that have been here for a while, it's a really special thing to be a part of. And they're living and dying along with it too. So yeah, that's another really cool part.
Our partner in crime, Layla Rahimi, who is on in middays, and she just happens to be hanging out here getting ready for the marathon. She handed us a note that said, and we're going to need some verification from you on this, Nico, is Dansby wearing an Indiana Jones hat?
I mean, it's not up to me to classify. I'm not well versed in those hats. I think he feels a little something when he puts it on, and I like that. I'll let him, you know, maybe define that. But I like when he does it. He's a handsome man. He can pull off a lot of good looks, and I like when he wears the hat.
You know, it takes a lot to be a hat guy. Like, I've tried. I've had portions of my life where you commit to it. Not a baseball hat, but like a fedora or whatever kind of hat.
I was going to say, you seem like a fedora and a jazz club kind of guy.
Thank you very much.
I got my first cowboy hat this year.
You did?
Yeah, buddy had the 50th birthday party that was cowboy theme. I went over to Alcala's and got myself a hat.
Yeah, I can't do that. I had like sort of a fedora kind of a thing. How about you? Do you own any non-baseball hats, sir?
Yeah, have one. You know, I wore it wine tasting one time and kind of hated myself. So,
yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I feel like you could pull off like a Pinky Blinders, like ooh, one of those type of hats. You could do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That'd be like a Chicago winter going to a, you know, dark dinner kind of thing maybe. But yeah, I need to up my game. I wear a lot of beanies. But that's not very exciting.
We had a texter ask somebody an important question. Are you good at packing? He would suggest that ball players have to be really good at packing.
Well, think about it, though. Like, the pack your bags thing, sure, it's the trip to Milwaukee, but it might also be the trip to L.A. that these guys are packing for, too.
Yeah, you absolutely pack for L.A. this morning. You know, the flight would leave. If we win, leaves after the game. So, yep, it's a... It's a pack, a little 5-day pack. Took me 12 minutes around, I'd say. I think it was pretty good, pretty efficient. I feel pretty dialed in by this time of year with what I need, and I'm a good packer.
Would you say that your fundamentals of packing have kicked in, or is it just that you're in you know, end of season form? That's what it's about.
You know, I think a lot of guys probably took longer today, as they're trying to put playoff fits together, as they say. And so I think, you know, I kind of stick into my basics pretty solid, but, I feel good about it.
If you were doing a packing wins above replacement, who's the worst? Yeah. Who's the worst on the team? Who struggles in this regard?
I mean, it depends how you – I think some guys have helped. You know, we've had the emergence of stylists, so I don't know how that fits into all this.
That's a good question.
Because, yeah, you got someone else picking up war for you. That's a sensitive topic maybe, but I don't know. We got a nice variety. I feel like everyone knows themselves on our team. I don't feel like anyone's trying to be anyone they're not when it comes to dressing, and I like that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.